Ladies and gentlemen, at some point, we all need to rest. Many of you have heard me talk about it before. It's just not a good idea to just work. Whether you're talking about a job and or school, sometimes we need to just unwind. And for more than just 1 or 2 hours, it's good to get in those 2 hours here and there, that 1 hour here and there, that weekend here and there. Let's take a look at weekends and maybe even longer, week-long. How about this? Spiritual retreats. I want to bring that back to you. See if I can inspire you, encourage you to just unwind a bit. Let your souls revive and your bodies. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to be with you on this beautiful, lovely, lovely day. And I tell you what, I think it's as good a day as any to see if there really is a connection between the spiritual and our brains. And as a matter of fact, some of the writers for Medical News Today says that really there's a connection. In fact, they say that spiritual retreats actually change the brain's reward and emotion centers. Now, that's got to be somewhat encouraging. Check this out now. You know, we've heard and read that drugs change the way our brain works, even when it comes to the experience of pleasure. Spiritual retreats. How about candy? Well, I'm saying candy, sweets. Affecting the way our brain responds to rewards and emotions. How about exercise? Affects the way our brain responds. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is amazing how we're put together. But so much can impact us. And remember now, we are the invisible spiritual part of us and our bodies. We are both. That's why one is always affecting the other. What happens with our spirits affects our bodies. What happens with our bodies affects our spirits. If you don't believe it, just think about the impact that it has on you when a husband and wife, especially when they truly love each other, when they come together sexually. Now, just looking at it, you know, without really thinking about it, it would almost seem like the sex act, or if you will, the sharing of sexual love, is only physical. Think about it now. I want you to really give some thought, even if it's over the course, you know, a minute here and a minute there, a few minutes here, a few minutes there, off and on, over the course of the next few days, maybe even the next few weeks. Think about what takes place when you share sexual love with your spouse. And think about, I tell you what I'd like for you to do. Rather than just try to go back into time and think about what all took place with you, with your spouse, but especially yourself. I really want you to focus on what's happening with you. I'm not saying be self-centered, because the sharing of sexual love is just that, sharing. But I just want you to focus, just to try to get a better understanding of what's going on with this beautiful act that we call sex. Is it just your body that has responded in the past? And then make it current. When you began to share love, sexual love, with your special someone the next time, deliberately be enjoying the moment and be deliberately aware of what's going on with as much of your person as you can. Now, just for now, I just want you to just focus on yourself. Just for now. Just long enough for you to really, really get a good handle on what is happening with you when you are sharing sexual love. And when I'm emphasizing the word you, because I want you to think about all of you, not just your genitals. I want you to think about all of you. What is happening with your body? What's happening with your mind? What's happening with your spirit? Whether you're the male or the female, I want you to be thinking about that. And try to determine, is it only my body that's affected when I'm sharing sexual love? Try to get a grasp on what's happening with you. And then later on, maybe several weeks from now, and ask your partner to do the same thing. I mean, right now, you don't wait till several weeks from now. If you start today trying to pay close attention to what's happening with all of you, ask your partner to do the same thing. Start paying close attention to what's happening with all of them. And then maybe in a few weeks, compare notes. So at any point at which each of you is able to say, you know what? I have a better grasp now of what's going on with me when we're sharing sexual love. And compare notes. And I would say, you know, don't be afraid that trying to be aware is going to take the fun away from it. I think that part of the reason that some people don't enjoy sex as much as we could is because we're not as aware as we should be. I think that the increased awareness will lead to a heightened sensitivity, which will in turn lead to greater satisfaction. Yeah, as we're paying attention to what's happening with us. And then you start sharing, at some point you start telling your spouse what the experience is like for you. And your spouse starts telling you what the experience is like for them. And you both become aware, more aware of more about what's happening with each of you. And with both of you during that time of very intimate sharing. It could possibly lead to a much more fulfilling sex life. And then the key to it is make sure that you keep it just between the two of you. Neither of you goes anywhere else to show people what the experience can be like, or for you to have that experience with someone else. No, keep it special. Keep it just between the two of you. I'm not saying the conversation so much as I am the act itself. Make sure that you only share the beauty of that act with your spouse. Keep it special. All right, so that's your homework assignment. But it's a great homework assignment. So don't look at it as work per se, although you will be working. You'll be putting forth some effort. You'll be burning energy, but it's for a worthwhile cause. It is for a very worthwhile cause. So that's your homework assignment. And then we'll revisit this. Oh, at some point in the near future. Well, how about these spiritual retreats and the brain? There's a new study that sheds light on why people who attend spiritual retreats report greater psychological well-being. After finding, get this, that these types of retreats, these spiritual retreats, may increase levels of quote-unquote feel-good hormones in the brain. There we go again. Ladies and gentlemen, we just keep coming up with more and more evidence that we humans are spirit and body. Some people say soul and body. Some people say spirit and soul and body. And as I've shared before, sometimes distinctions are made between spirit and soul. Sometimes there are no distinctions. When I say no distinctions, I'm talking about Bible dictionary definitions of the two words. And so rather than, you know, have us get caught up in whether spirit or soul or whatever, I just like to refer to the inner being so that captures all of it. All that makes up the person we are on the inside that we do not see with the natural eye, even with equipment. We are the inner person and the physical body. Spiritual retreats, increasing levels of feel-good hormones in the brain, which is obviously and unequivocally physical. Researchers from Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia found that individuals who attended a spiritual retreat for 7 days experienced changes in the dopamine and the serotonin systems of the brain, which boosts the availability of these neurotransmitters. 7 day retreat, spiritual retreat, leading to changes, bringing about changes in dopamine levels, serotonin levels, and these systems of the brain. Dopamine helps to regulate movement and emotional responses. Serotonin helps to control emotion and mood. The brain, the physical brain, with physical hormones, particularly dopamine in this case and serotonin in this case, regulating movement. We can see that movement is physical. But wouldn't we think that emotion is spiritual? Emotion and mood affected by dopamine and serotonin, which are affected by spiritual retreats. Something that's going on during spiritual retreats. Co-author, Dr. Andrew Newberg, Director of Research in the Marcus Institute of Integrative Health at Thomas Jefferson University. And his colleagues say that their study really does provide insight into the emotional impact of spiritual practices. And he says that since serotonin and dopamine are part of the reward and emotional systems of the brain, it helps us understand why these practices result in powerful, positive emotional experiences, not just emotional experiences that, you know, if you pay real close attention, you can kind of get a sense that something might be going on. No, these are powerful emotional experiences. And spiritual retreats can be defined as a place for people of varying spiritual beliefs, where they engage in practices aimed at reinforcing their faith and improving their health and well-being. According to the researchers of this study, an increasing number of people are visiting spiritual retreats. And studies have shown that these individuals often report a reduction in anxiety and other psychological benefits. So you notice it's giving them something good while taking away something that can be considered negative. Dr. Newberg does note, though, that no studies have explored the neurophysiological effects of the retreat programs. And so they're going to be trying to address that gap in further research. But in the meantime, for the study that they did run, they enrolled 14 Christian adults aged 24 to 76 years of age. The subjects were required to visit an Ignatian retreat for 7 days. Here, the participants engaged in spiritual exercises created by St. Ignatius Loyola, who founded the Jesuits. And of course, that's centuries ago, but a very, very powerful group of priests who did a lot of meditating. St. Ignatius Loyola, just really and truly famous for what he did. But each day during this 7 day retreat, the participants attended a morning mass. For the rest of the day, they engaged in silent contemplation, prayer, and reflection. They also met with a spiritual director who provided spiritual guidance and information on the aims of the retreat. Before and after visiting the retreat, participants underwent DAT scan, single photon emission computed tomography, also known as SPECT, which enabled the researchers to assess their brain activity. The subjects also completed a series of questionnaires that assessed their physical and psychological well-being. After the 7 day retreat, the participants demonstrated a 5 to 8% reduction in dopamine transporter binding as well as a 6.5% reduction in serotonin transporter binding. The researchers say that these decreases can lead to greater availability of dopamine and serotonin in the brain, which can have positive psychological effects. The participants also reported an increase in self-transcendence following the 7-day retreat, which the team says correlated with reductions in dopamine binding. The people who participated also reported improvements in physical health, in tension, and in fatigue. That's amazing. In future studies, the researchers wish to pinpoint the specific practices at spiritual retreats that are responsible for changes to the serotonin and dopamine transporter binding. They'd like to determine whether the results vary dependent on the type of retreat. I find that interesting. You know, we keep talking about these different reports that find that there are impacts on the body when it comes to the way our brains function in particular. But think about some of the things I shared with you years ago when we talked about ways that people can reduce stress. And we talked about meditation. We talked about music. A number of things, of course, exercise. Just a number of ways that we can reduce stress and increase our experience of that which is positive and beneficial to us. And when I say to us, I mean to the whole person, the spirit or the soul, the inner being, as well as the body. I tell you, I really think that maybe you should consider something like this. Now, notice this, though. So far, based on what they're talking about, they're not talking about they're not talking about conferences, even spiritual conferences. That's different. The goal here was primarily, again, to participate in activities that are designed to lead to a greater sense of well-being. Conferences can be very beneficial, but they're not really designed to lead to a greater sense of well-being. Maybe a better way of practicing leadership skills, a better way of discipling people, different things like that, but not necessarily having a direct impact on our sense of well-being. These retreats are intended to have a direct impact on our sense of well-being. And so you might want to consider some of these. Maybe do some research, go online and get an idea of what's available. And as you're checking out what's available, think about what might be, to your liking, because I know not everyone's going to be comfortable with every form of retreat that's available. So look for the ones that are available, period, and then try to narrow it down to types of retreats that you'd be comfortable with, where you could just let your hair down and go with the flow of whatever that retreat calls for. And maybe even do some of your own before and afters, where maybe for, let's say, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, three times a week before the retreat, take your blood pressure. See what it says. Check your respiration and record it so that, you know, this isn't guesswork. Have your sheet drawn up where you have it for this length of time, you know, these days on this week. And for the next 3 weeks, the next 4 weeks, and I would say maybe 4 to 6 weeks, don't just do 3 weeks. And then after the retreat is over, you're back home, do it again. Check the blood pressure, check the respiration again. You know, they have some fairly inexpensive machines out there that are very, very portable. Very portable, you can buy and keep at your home, and they work so well. And all you're doing is wrapping the cuff around your arm the same way you would do in a doctor's office. And these machines can fairly accurately, or very accurately, measure your blood pressure, your respiration, and keep the numbers there long enough so that you have plenty of time to record it. I don't mean like 30 minutes recorded, but you have your paper and pen handy, and you have plenty of time to record your blood pressure, record your respiration. So do it before and after. See how that goes when you're, before the retreat, after the retreat. See if the retreat had it, made a difference. But of course, in these studies, they were using equipment, DAT scans, you know, that you won't have access to. But again, something as inexpensive as this little machine, you're good to go. All right. Tomorrow, I want you to be sure to join me again. We're going to be talking further about God's Kingdom of Priests on Spiritual Perspectives, Hour 1. Kingdom of Priests. Does it give you any pleasure to know that God sees his people as being royal people and as a priesthood, as priests? I want us to get to the point where we really, really think deeply about what God has to say about humanity in general and his people in particular, and allow ourselves to really be happy, truly happy, fulfilled about what God has to say about us, who we are, what he calls us, etc. All right, we're going to be back with more Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. in just a few.